We all love a good sermon every once in a while. Whether we are sitting in the audience of a gifted preacher or listening to an uplifting podcast, there's something about a good sermon that delights our souls. Now, you might be saying, hey, this is a podcast about simple, organic, house church. We're not supposed to talk about preachers or sermons. We're supposed to share, not preach. Maybe so, but there are plenty of preachers and lots of preaching mentioned in the scriptures. Jesus, Paul, Peter, not to mention Moses, Isaiah, Jonah, and many others were known as preachers. Preaching is the communication of an evangelistic or prophetic message. It could be a message of teaching or exhortation or admonishment. Preaching was usually done in a public setting, outdoors, in the streets, in a large assembly, or in a crowded upper room. More often than not, preaching was delivered to unbelievers in order to cause them to become believers. Also, public teaching is often found in scriptures such as Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. In the context of house church, a formal sermon would be awkward in a living room filled with only 10 to 12 people. And so preaching as we know it probably won't be very common in the house church. But there's still a calling and a need for preachers to preach the good news. We will listen to a good sermon whether in public or through our earbuds. So if that's the case, let's examine what preaching, good preaching, really is. What makes a good sermon? By the way, you won't find the word sermon in the Bible. I've checked. Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm Tom LaCombe.
And I'm Gavin Durson, and we're glad that you have chosen to listen to us today. And we don't
We just record it, we take it out to each other live here.
But hey, really want to thank you all for being here, and I hope you're having a great summer. Hope things are going well, and a lot of great things going on. And today we've got it's kind of a topic that's been fresh on my mind. Tom, why don't you get us rolling with it here?
Okay, I want to talk today about the sermon and the preacher. That may sound weird coming from a house church, simple church kind of podcast. Let me frame this, and then we'll talk about it. First of all, if you've heard this podcast or if you've listened to any other person talking about house church, you know, our model is not centered around a single individual who stands up and lectures and gives a sermon, a performance, who comes in and delivers a proclamation, that one single person doing that. That's not what we're about. We're more about an interactive kind of meeting where everyone has the opportunity to speak up and interact and ask questions, things like that. So the sermon is kind of out of place in a living room. If you can imagine someone standing up in a living room, and I've seen this happen, and he's the only one speaking, and he's delivering a three-point sermon. It's kind of weird. So our normal house church model is not really centered around a single preacher or a single sermon. However, that being said, the sermon is not going to go away. I mean, Jesus preached sermons. Paul preached sermons. All the apostles preached sermons. They were proclamations meant to either A, evangelize people, or B, you know, bring people closer to conformity to Christ, you know, teaching, admonishing, correcting, training in righteousness, as we looked up just now, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, training,
correcting.
Righteousness, correcting, and rebuking. So there's two positive, two negative. But that being said, we have access today in the West. We're a literate society. And not only a literate society, but we are wired. We are plugged in. And so we have access to a plethora of good quality preachers, good sermons that we can listen to at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, you know, even though we're not espousing this to take place, you know, in your gathering, I've seen gatherings where, hey, let's listen to this sermon because I want to talk about this topic and look at the scriptures. I've seen instances where sermons are a part of your worship service, especially like when we gather large groups together. Gavin, you and I have done conferences together, and it is a sermon. It is not an interactive discussion. We've delivered sermons, and we've preached. And we've preached in other contexts. We've gone to churches and presented, you know, what we're doing, and it's a sermon. You know, we've featured some of your sermons on this podcast. So there are sermons. They're out there, and they're accessible. There's going to be times when preaching is necessary and good. So what I'd like to talk about today is if we're going to use sermons or if we're going to listen to sermons as a consumer, like if you're going to drive down the road and you've got a long way to go and you want to plug in a sermon or you flip through the TV and you see a preacher on TV, how are you going to pick out, hey, what are you going to listen to? You know, if this is purely by choice, how are you going to pick that out? What are you going to look for? And what are you going to expect to happen from listening to this sermon or watching this guy on TV? Or if you're going to preach a sermon, what are you going to talk about? How are you going to prepare for that? So
yeah,
we're not going to get into a class on homiletics or anything like that because that's a little bit more involved. But let's talk about the preacher and the sermon.
All right. Well, this has been the idea of the sermon. One, and you'll have to forgive me for illiteracy on this, but I'm not really sure when we use the word sermon, somebody's listening who knows Greek and all these great terms that might be able to write in and help us. But is sermon in the scripture? Are we told to give a sermon? And what do we mean by sermon? I think, because sermon, the definition, the dictionary, I pulled it up here, a talk on religious or moral subject, especially when given during a church service and based on a passage from the Bible. I don't have a disagreement with that as a definition, but certainly preaching is in the scriptures,
right?
And we're called to preach. And I always, and so I have questions about, well, what does that mean? And I think it means to proclaim. It means to proclaim the good news. And certainly we are all, you know, we're called to preach. I mean, that's one of the gifts that God has given to the church, to preach, to teach. How that looks as you shared, just, you know, we that looks different a lot of times. I've probably focused my attention more on redefining on how that can look so that it's not all on one person or that it doesn't have to look the same as we've maybe thought it has to look, which oftentimes necessitates, you know, 40, 30 hours of preparation and,
right,
and this sort of thing of study. And I told you before we started this, you know, the idea of the sermon is something that's sort of been fresh on my mind, and it's something I wrestle with. I just got back from FCA leadership camp, and I took my family there, and I used to work for FCA for 11 years and helped run that camp for many years. And I was really struck by, you know, when you're out of that for a while, you go back into it, of just how much, I guess I had forgotten how much preaching and teaching and lecturing, sermonizing is a part of that camp. And
public
it was
speaking, yeah.
And it was good, but it was a lot of listening, a lot of instruction from the pulpit.
Right.
That was very interesting for me to kind of put myself back into, because it's not only, I've probably listened to a sermon in the last 7 years. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if I've done that 10 times, you know?
Yeah.
Other than the ones I've heard myself share, I may maybe a few more in different settings. But like you said, but I just personally, I think here's the thing for me when this topic comes up, Tom, that I struggle with is that is I feel like even the idea of our best preachers giving sermons and down, man, I benefited from that, and I enjoy probably, I mean, I got in a kick a while back of listening to Ravi Zacharias. I probably listened to something like a lecture of his at Harvard, Yale, and all these places like numerous times. And I think you would call those sermon. I would call them preaching. I would call them proclaiming the good news,
right,
teaching, instructing, whatever, you know, and I enjoy that. But I think the hard part for me is that I probably had a little bit too much of a reaction to it, because I feel like even in my own heart, there's so many things that seem to be distracting to me. It's like the sermon can sometimes become this thing unto itself. It's like it's a craft. It's an art. And I know that people have gone to classes where they teach them how to give a perfect sermon.
Oh, yeah,
I was meeting with a guy the other day, and he got a bad grade on his preaching class because they didn't like the way he you know, ask questions, or it was just something. And I hear stuff like that, and I'm almost like, oh man, give me a break. Like, there's so many little things that, yeah. And I found myself that it annoys me. Like, I'm like, man, what is it that when you stand up there, all of a sudden people, I have friends and people, like, even at this camp, you know, it's like, you're tempted to transform into someone other than yourself. Like, you talk differently, you speak right. There's a cadence, there's all these cultural things.
Polish,
yeah, and there's these cultural things that go into it
yeah.
that, man, when I hear, it's hard for me to hear anymore. And I mean, there are people that I, you know, can listen to, and I really enjoyed. I don't want it to make sense. Like, even at this camp, there was a lot of really good things I took away from what was being said.
Right.
But it's just a struggle for me. I mean, like, I don't generally wake up and think, man, I want to hear a life-changing sermon. I was meeting with a guy yesterday. He's like, man, I'm kind of tired of hearing life-changing sermons. It's like, how many life-changing sermons can I hear,
right.
you know?
Let me reframe this. I'm not talking about, I don't want to have cold sweats about preaching, because, you know, I've been to those classes and, you know, I nearly flunked out. When I think back on my trial sermons and things like that, it was a nightmare. And there's value in preparing to do public speaking, and there's more value in preparing what you want to say, because if you're going to say that I'm a preacher, if you're going to say I want to preach, then what you're really saying is I want to speak the wisdom of God. I want to speak for God. And that's huge. That's a huge opportunity. So beware of that calling. Beware of that desire. It's good. It's a good desire. It's a good calling. But if you're gonna say, I'm going to be a preacher, God's going to hold you more accountable than the average guy, because you're actually saying, I want to speak the words of God. I want to explain to you what God has said. So be very careful. But that being said, there's a lot of good preachers out there. So what I want to couch this in is as more of a consumer. Forget about.
So you're into consumeristic Christianity.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Today I am. So it's all about me, buddy.
Just to be clear, for the record, it's recorded. Tom LeConte
is a consumeristic.
He's into consumeristic Christianity.
And, when it comes to sermons and podcasts, okay, like I confessed a few podcasts ago that I'm constantly driving in the car, so I'm constantly
yeah.
listening to stuff. So
yeah, and that's
what
good.
Am I going to listen
yeah,
to? I hate country music. You know, just I hate pop music. I'm going to listen to something that's going to stimulate me. So that's my question. If you're going to listen to a sermon, or if you're going to pick something out, and maybe sermon isn't the right word, a teaching, a podcast, an interview, what are you going to listen to? I mean, in this day and age of everyone is they're hungry for TED Talks.
Yeah.
They want to see a TED Talk.
Yeah.
Because why? They're informative.
Yeah,
sometimes entertaining. They
stimulate.
They stimulate you.
They feel like you get something from it. Yeah.
So if we get that from a TED Talk about any subject, why not so much more? We use that scrutiny to listen to sermons or teaching or podcasts. So
yeah, well, and let me reframe. Let me go back and forth with you here. So let me reframe, because I think. When you bring that up, I think you're wanting to, you're kind of coming at it from one way, and I'm coming at it from another. I think sometimes, like, I just get, and I think in Simple Church, the idea of talking about preaching and teaching and sermon, it's something that I have a real passion to see redefined. I mean, so I have a real passion to see that. I mean, I'm looking at some scriptures here. I mean, we are told, you know, how can they call on the one whom they have not believed? How can they believe without one they have never heard? And how are they ever going to hear without someone preaching? Like, when we hear that word, we have a picture in our mind of a person standing behind a pulpit. We have a picture in our mind of something we can, or on the street corner, something we can download. I don't think that, I think this is a message to every believer. We're all to be preaching. We're all to be proclaiming the good news. We're all to be, you know, 2 Timothy 4:2-4, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That is a message to the body of Christ. That's not a message to a select few that do it with certain cadences and preacher voices and certain types of cultural catch, you know, all those things kind of Like they kind of get in there and they distract me. And right. and I think they distract a lot of people who aren't Christians, you know, that if it was simply a matter of having an awesome sermon to go be able to hear is all that we need more of in the body of Christ, then everybody would be Christians, because there are great people all in my city here and every Sunday morning who have spent, I mean, they're doing great jobs, right. like giving great messages. It's truth. It's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot that aren't, but there's great, great speakers and communicators. And I feel like right. that in some ways that's been made an idol in the church. Celebrities that can really are super, you know, gifted to do these things. They're put up on a pedestal. Simple Church is, in my mind and my passion, is to not completely do away with that or to poo-poo on that, but to redefine it so that everyone sees that we all are called to preach. We're all called to proclaim the good news. And most of Jesus's messages, his sermons, even the longest one we had, the Sermon on the Mount, you can read that in about 5 or 6 minutes, you know, if you go all the way through it. You know, it's like we've created it to where it's this 30 to 40 minute eloquent thing that has all these nice little things. And again, those can be helpful and beneficial. But if we're talking about help empowering every believer to think of themselves as a preacher and the potential to preach, sometimes those things can have unintended consequences when we elevate those things, because it, right. it communicates to everyone else, oh, I can't do that, you okay. know? And so I think I have to get that out of the way. I'm happy to share some thoughts about great preachers and great messages, but it always comes with that asterisk, because I think there right. is a tendency in the church today to elevate these people it's counterproductive to what I want to be about.
Okay.
And so, doesn't mean I don't think it has a place. I'm a product of life-changing messages given from a pulpit, you
right,
know?
Right,
and
right.
so I know they are beneficial and encouraging. They encouraged my children at this camp this past week and encouraged me. But I also have this just concern, I guess, when
okay.
we start talking about the sermons and awesome preachers and awesome speakers. And
Kevin, I think I hear you though. let me ease your mind. This conversation, I'm not trying to elevate the use of sermons in a simple church, because
no, I know you're not.
That's the default of a church, of the institutional church, and it's not bad, but it's not. I agree with you.
Yeah.
We need to figure out a better way.
Yeah.
To find the mind of God when you're in a small group and when you are declaring the gospel, you know, on the street or in your spheres of influence,
yeah,
sermon might not be the way to go. What I'm looking at is, if you're going to intake media,
yeah,
you know, are you going to watch SpongeBob SquarePants on
yeah.
TV? Or are you going to watch or
yeah,
listen
sure.
to something?
I
so that being a given, and with that caveat that this is not condoning the preaching, the formal lecturing within Simple Church every week.
Yeah.
We're not condoning that.
No.
But if you're going to hear something
yeah.
by choice, you're going to like flip through your channels, or you're going to go through your
yeah.
podcasts or whatever. You're going to look for something. What's going to cause you to pick a certain thing?
Okay. And I think
that's
this is, and so with all that being said and me getting all those other things off my chest, I think this is part of, you know, and we'll get there. I think you're wanting to get some like concrete examples. Hey, go check this out. Check this out. And I'm going to get
there.
We don't
have to name names.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get there. But I want to say this, here is the thing. There is a value. Like we want to benefit from the great teachers of the Bible. God has gifted people to teach the Bible. He's
exactly.
gifted people to help people understand and train people in applying the scriptures to their lives.
Right.
And I would like to think he's using me to do that, and using you, and has used me to do those things. And we, you know, one of the beauties is that I actually believe that part of what's happening in the church today in the West is that there is this curve that's ticking upwards, and a lot of it has to do with technology. You know, it wasn't 20 years ago, 25 years ago maybe, that there might only been one guy in one town in right. one building who had a book that could give you an explanation of deeper than what you could find anywhere else
right.
on a particular passage, or what Jesus might have meant, or countering views to what Jesus was saying. And now, I mean, we can pull all that up on our phone. We can. So I think all of that and the technology and God's use of it is playing into the increased understanding of simple church and the longing for it. People are realizing, wow, like, why would I schedule my whole life around going to primarily sit and listen to a sermon on Sunday
right.
whenever I can listen to that sermon now at 9 o'clock on my way home from work or driving to work? And
yes.
I can, and I can have church in a much more interactive way and still benefit from that teaching. If that's something that you, a way that you learn, you know, some people learn in different ways.
Exactly.
But beyond a shadow of a doubt, preaching, teaching is a gift to the church, and we want to affirm it. And I want to affirm it in as many ways as possible and encourage as many people as possible to engage in that,
yes.
whether that's, going, standing and doing street preaching, or whether it's bringing a 3-minute sermon to Simple Church this week to your, or to coffee with your friend and say, can I share something with you that God has taught me? And I would like to teach it to, and pass it on to you.
That's right.
You know, and that's really, I guess, the heart of my, heart of things. But, so with all that said, I think there are just some incredible resources that are, I would consider to be sermons or preaching or teachings that's out there. And, you know, for me, I'll answer your question, Tom. You know, and it was funny because even there's even something that's come up even just this morning. I was meeting with a couple of guys and they were talking about how they stumbled upon a book, or maybe it was a sermon or something by a guy named Dallas Willard, who
yep.
maybe you've heard of.
I read some of his books.
And see, I've not really done that. So that actually piqued my curiosity to think, man, I think I would like to go check out some of what he has to say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in it. You know, sometimes I think when people look at house church, they think, they worry about this. Well, how are we going to know what to teach people, and how are we going to give them the right message and the right? But I think a lot of times it, for me, to answer your question finally, what determines what I will look up and listen to has a lot to do with what's coming from relationships. Like, I've met these two guys that are interested in simple church, and God's moving them in some similar ways that I think mm-hmm. he's moved me. And Dallas Willard has been someone that God has used to really encourage these guys. So it makes me want to know what Dallas Willard has said, you
yeah.
know, and I have a reason to check into that. I may not agree. I disagree with everything Dallas Willard has ever said, but that will be a way that a lot of times God has used the teaching of others to sharpen me, to
yes.
spur me on to thinking, to get me back into the scriptures. Well, what is he saying versus what Jesus said, and how does that compare? And so that's a lot of the ways is it's worked for me. And I think we can trust that with
yeah.
the people in our simple church as well. You know, God seems to bring these things. His spirit tends to bring these things in front of us.
I'm with you, because every time we have a conversation, you end up recommending somebody, and I'll go check them out on YouTube or
yeah.
iTunes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I end up, you know, subscribing to them or whatever. So, yes,
yeah.
we've had a lot of those conversations.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a big part of it. I mean, you know, I've shared several things on this podcast in your spot. There's, I don't know if they're even available anywhere, but if somebody wanted them, I've got them on my computer and be happy to share them. But I know that several years ago, a guy in our simple church just brought up this conference that he stumbled upon the internet, called Baptizing the Imagination. And I downloaded those those lectures from that conference from these professors there, and I would say that those talks have been some of the more eye-opening and influential things in my faith. And, you know, I've sort of got a little collection of, I've thought about this before. I keep on my computer, and I realize I haven't updated them onto my new computer yet, but I've sort of kept a little playlist on my computer of, and it's not in a morbid way, but to think through, it's like if I were to die today and I were to leave something to my children, like some things, and a few of these are actually messages that I've given that haven't happened to be recorded. But, you know, what would be the 10 most important messages that I would want my children to hear, to know, that reflect what I believe about Jesus and what has challenged me and shaped me, you know, and I've always tried to.
How would you decide on 10? I mean,
well, I just think of the ones that have been the most influential to me.
Yeah.
You know, like what are the ones, like that Baptized in the Imagination conference, there's one talk on there, the fourth one, that man, for whatever reason, the Lord used that in my life, like in a pretty profound way, you know? So if I was going to share something with my children, you know, and I will share that with them, and, you know, hey, this is something that God used in my life. You know, I want you to hear it.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.